Hello and welcome to An Ink We Trust, Tattoo and Art Culture in San Fernando Valley, bringing you the latest from who's making a mark in the Tattoo Valley scene, bringing the tattoo parlor to you. I am your host, Anthony Sanchez. We're going to talk today to Leo Martinez from Think Ink in Woodland Hills. He started tattooing in Brazil, Rio, right?
Yes.
Back in 1991. He's opened his shop here in Woodland Hills in 1995, along with his wife, Debbie Martinez, who's also Hello. Here with us. So I want to thank you guys for coming by the studio.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
Right on, man.
Thanks. So why don't we, Leo, you come from Brazil. So, yes. What do you miss about being back home?
Oh man, I born there, I miss there, but, that time when I live in Brazil I was the second generation tattoo. So people that know how to tattoo, they don't really teach. They don't want more people to know. So it was hard to learn. I work in a shop, an apprentice, I can just look. So I come here to the United States to learn more, mm-hmm. Here in California, then I meet my wife. I never go back. Then we married, we opened a shop in 95.
She's keeping men here, huh?
Yeah, if she don't fire me.
Oh, yeah, I threaten to fire him a lot.
Oh, okay.
I know.
I'm kidding.
She gonna sue me for sexual harassment in work.
Oh.
So you're saying you did second generation? So there, did you learn from somebody else in the family?
I learned somebody from tattoo art in Brazil, in Rio. No, the basic. But it was more try and error during that time.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot of things that we did that time, single needle and how the ink spread after 6 years. So we need to make the space between the lines. There's a lot of the things that was trial and error.
Okay. And how was tattooing in Rio? Was there a lot of shops there?
No, was only that I know three shops.
Three shops.
And was really underground. I started tattoo during that time was not that acceptable.
Uh-huh. Right. Know? Yeah, it was still I don't know if you guys had punk rock or that kind of stuff down there.
We have everything, man.
Okay.
All kinds of, man. We have from school teachers to Axl Rose, I tattoo him, and, rock stars, and we have such a great variety, man. That's the cool thing in the job, you meet different peoples, you make new friends. It's a great job, man. I love tattooing, man.
Awesome, right on. So, Debbie, what about you? You do piercing, you guys own the shop together. What was your story before you met Leo?
Well, I'm a hairdresser.
Oh, you're a hairdresser.
I still am. I still do hair at the shop as well.
Oh.
And so I met Leo, and he wanted to live in Southern California. We were up in the Bay Area.
All right.
And so I followed him down. And, well, not right away, but we got married, and we opened the shop. And then people started calling for piercing. Uh-huh. And I thought, well, why not? It's a service.
Right.
I mean, it's just like doing someone's hair. I'm providing a service for them. So I thought, well, I'll go get some training. And so I did that. I went up to San Francisco and got trained by Fakir, went to his course. And it just turned into this huge business. I never expected it. I just kind of thought, well, I'll do it because I had been doing hair in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And so, of course, I couldn't do my hair in San Francisco because I was living here.
Right. Yeah.
So I wasn't really working, and I was at the shop every day. And it's fun because people come in nervous and anxious, but they leave happy. And I love that. And I only have to spend about 15 minutes with them, which is perfect.
Unlike hair, right?
Well, unlike hair where, if your personalities don't really match, you got to spend a few hours with people.
Do you want to talk a little bit about Fakir's work? Just so the audience knows, and I don't know.
Well, Fakir Mustafar started the Gauntlets in the 70s with Jim Ward, and those were one of the first kind of commercial piercing shops. And he was the editor of Body Play magazine, and he did a lot of what is that called? Where you leave your body?
Out of body experience.
Transgression. Is that what it's called? He did like that kind of stuff where you kind of hang.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's
called.
Seen
because it before.
I personally am not into that. But he was very interesting and really into vibes in the room, like whatever vibes are in the room when you pierce someone's body, you can send good vibes to them.
Oh.
You know, so I found that really interesting. And it was just fun.
He was the guy that started piercing, pretty much.
Yeah.
He started piercing.
In like a commercial way where people would go to a shop and pay someone. Because I think it's always been kind of big underground.
Okay.
You know?
So yeah,
well,
that's
years ago.
And that's definitely a theme we want to touch on, how underground it was when you guys started here in 95.
It absolutely was.
Man, when I start tattooing, man, you know, people look at me like, you know, all the ladies grab the purse, you know, like, oh my God, look at that crazy guy.
I know.
And the industry go really far.
I was actually just talking to another artist on Tuesday, and we were trying to figure out what's the oldest tattoo shop in LA area. We thought maybe it was in Long Beach.
They start in the Pike in Long Beach. That's how the tattoo really start in LA.
Right.
You know, from the Pike, then start to explode.
Yeah, probably a lot of, because there's the Navy's based out of there. There's probably a lot of sailors in
Coney Island in New York. That's a big start there too.
So when you came here in 95, you were the second
I'm here
in
91.
90, oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
91. We opened the shop in 95.
Opened the shop in 95.
Yes.
So, well, what was it like in 91, LA area?
Well, we still a little bit underground. We tattoo, you know, rock stars and rappers, you know, but young people, but still have that old mentality, man. That TV shows really opened the door to tattoo to be more acceptable, you know, then make everybody want to be a tattoo artist too.
Did you see a boom during those shows? I don't. What was the first one? Miami Ink.
Well,
I think so. I to be honest with you, I don't even watch the shows.
Yeah, we never really watched them. I don't really know that I noticed a boom. I think I just noticed that people did kind of expect to, like I said earlier, walk in and get their big gigantic piece done in an hour.
Yeah.
Because of the television shows. But
okay.
They get the wrong impression.
It's okay, though. But I think it did bring it into the mainstream where every you go to the bank and the people behind the counter are tattooed now.
Yeah, like there is a there's ads for like insurance, and it's like the guy with the tattoo sleeves
Absolutely.
And the man bun.
Yes.
And they're like, we're like you.
Like, I'm not sure I really like that.
I don't either.
I like it because, of course, we're in a business. Uh-huh. We need our customers. We want more customers always. But at the same time, it kind of, it's not as secret or underground as it used to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like kind of too mainstream, maybe. Well, a little bit.
I like, because, you know, more people's getting tattoos now, man. And, you know, they're expressing themselves, man. It's like my arms, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that happens in my life, I get a tattoo.
Okay.
My arm is like a book of my life.
You're still adding to your collection.
Yes. Yeah. Everything that happens in my life that's important, I get a tattoo, you know. Symbolize that time in my life.
When did you get your first tattoo, Leo?
The day I turned 18 years old.
Really?
The day I turned 18 years old, I'm knocking the door.
Even in Brazil, is that the rule, 18?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What about you, Debbie?
Oh, I didn't get tattooed until I was 40-ish.
40?
Yeah.
Okay.
And what's funny is I worked in the tattoo shop. I just didn't have any tattoos and just didn't have a big desire. And then one day I just woke up and thought, okay, today's the day. I'm ready.
This is another thing that we bring up every now and then is, would you trust somebody to give a tattoo if they'd ever had tattoos?
Well, I think it's unusual, and I think that some people do kind of find it odd if you're not tattooed and you're doing tattoos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to understand too, you know, if you don't have any tattoos, you don't know about the healing process.
Okay.
You don't know how to apply the tattoo correctly. You know.
Yeah.
You need to go to the healing process to see. You need to pass the experience to see which part of your body hurts the most, which part, you know.
Right.
Your body, you need to stretch the skin more, like in your stomach and your ribs.
Mm-hmm.
So if the guy don't have tattoos, no. Same thing, then go eat in a restaurant and the cook is a skinny, skinny guy. Say, oh, my God, man, he don't eat here. You know what I'm saying?
Have you been training anybody over time? Or
yes.
Do you have a few apprentices out there?
We train Carson Hill, you know. And Jim Hayek, when he comes to our shop, he improve a lot our work, his work, you know. And even Paul, he comes to our shop, you know, and he get out working way, way better. But we have a lot of experience, you know. We have Christian that work in our shop for, oh, my God, how many years?
I think he's been with us 14.
Yeah, 14 he's the manager.
Now.
That's really, really great good. Artist, man.
It definitely, you two run the shop together, I'm sure it's like more of a family environment probably than...
Yeah, we try to make like a friendship because when you go to work, you need to be happy. You need to get along with everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to have that vibe, like a teamwork, like good yeah. vibe, man, as though you're happy. But to me, tattoo is not a work, you know. When I'm in school, I draw. Instead of paying attention to class, I was drawing. So like, mm-hmm. oh, man, I was in trouble.
What did you study? Did you study any art in school? Or?
Yes, okay. I did a lot of art class. You know, I pretty much, you know, quit school.
Okay.
I'd go do only art class and start to do tattoo, not professional, you know, uh-huh. during that time. But it's when you do something that you like, it's not a work, you know. And you do something that's custom, you know, you have to pick the idea the customer have in his head. He have the picture in his head, what he want, but he cannot draw. He cannot put in a piece of paper. So he need to tell me that image you have in his head, and I have to translate that and put in a piece of paper, you know. And then that's something really cool, the connection you make, you know, the connection they make with an artist. That's really cool, man. You end up making a lot of friends, man.
Right.
There's a lot of people that, you know, we have so many friends from work. It's really cool, man. It's a good job.
Yeah, you know? I mean, you like you guys are saying, nobody, you don't come in and just get a sleeve in an hour. It's like yeah. you spend hours with
that.
You
spend a lot of time, yeah. And
you know people and, you know, they know you. And
people really feel connected to you because you're changing their body permanently. They
right.
never forget you.
Right.
Yeah, you create a
cool.
bond.
Yeah,
even piercings.
So.
I remember
yeah,
the
sure.
nipple piercing guy.
Yeah, I have people that recognize me outside the shop. I may not recognize them because
right.
I've had
a lot of customers.
It's been 25 years almost, and an occasion I will run into someone like at the grocery store, and they're very excited to see me.
That's cool.
And I'm like, well, oh, how are you doing?
It's cool because we've been in the business that long. You know, I think when we opened the shop, it was 300 shops in the mm-hmm. valley.
What, do you remember what shops they were?
It was, Studio City Tattoo.
And then
Long was
Charlie's,
Yoni that closed.
Charlie's House.
Charlie House of Tattoos. And that's the second oldest tattoo shop in L.A.
Okay.
He even retired.
Right. I don't think I've heard of Charlie yet.
Yeah, he retired.
Van Nuys, I think.
Okay.
Yeah,
in
Van Nuys.
I think it's still there with just different new
still
owners.
There.
There's the we had a world famous Emporium of Tattoo.
Yes.
Oh, wait,
is that
maybe
it?
That's
the
it.
Name. Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
No,
his
but
name?
He retired. We,
yeah.
I was like,
yeah,
update you. He did retire and
Charlie
on.
Retired.
Okay.
But
yeah.
To Frankie Ray.
Yeah. Oh
yeah,
man, Frankie's cool dude, man.
Yeah.
I like him, man.
Yeah. He's a cool guy.
That place is pretty old school.
Yeah.
I love
yeah.
going in there. You could tell it's got some history.
Yeah.
It's the oldest tattoo shop.
Yeah. Okay.
He's after the Pike.
After the Pike.
He's the first one.
Right.
Even the owner passed away. The building that he rent for his son at school, man.
Yeah. Leo, you wanted to tell a story about the first time you gave a tattoo back in Brazil.
I really
right?
don't want to tell the story, but
you don't want to.
But can I say?
Have I heard this story?
Can I say? You know,
we better leave the room and tell the story.
We need to learn to tattoo. So you know, in our neighborhood, you know, was this bum guy. You know, he was really cool. We bring him food. We bring him food, you know, booze. He was,
okay.
he watched our bike.
You're talking about Rio, right?
In Rio. In 1989, you know. So he watch our bikes, you know. So he was a cool friend. We give him food and we come to him and ask him, man, we need to learn tattoo, man. You mind if you learn a new man? How much you charge? He say, oh, man, just give me a bottle of tequila. He was already drunk, right?
No.
Oh, man, he passed out and he lay down in the pool table. So I'll go for that too. I don't care. So me and my friend, we start in his wrist to his shoulder playing tic-tac-toe.
Okay.
You know?
No.
My friend tattoo eat me around his belly button.
Oh, no.
He don't care, man. So we tattoo. Oh, man, I tattoo a living crap of that guy, man. But he happy, man. He don't mind.
He's happy.
Hey, man, probably make him get some bum chicks, you know? They're going to look at him cool. He's probably going to get laid, man.
Yeah,
That's how
that
I
was a long time
my
ago
first
in Rio.
Yeah, long time.
Well,
man.
You were a kid. I mean, what?
Yeah.
How
it
old
would have
were
been
you?
Oh, my
teenager,
God.
Right?
Teenager. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well. Yeah, I cannot do that these days.
It's not an endorsement of what he's doing now.
No.
No.
Because what I'm saying, during that time was completely different. When I start tattoo, we have only two tattoo supplies. You have to make your own needle.
Right.
Yeah,
you need to sterilize everything before.
Frankie Ray says,
has everything disposable, but the some of the new generation now don't even know how to make needles or how to take a machine apart.
They don't really need to.
Yeah.
But it's probably better to learn that so that you kind of know.
I mean, one thing that's interesting with tattoo that I thought that coming in, like for example, you working with Debbie working with Fakir, like you would think that there'd be this tradition handed down, but it's kind of people just fall into it. But I guess if there was a school, we would add that to the curriculum, you know what I'm saying? Making your own.
I think you should know all that. And one thing that Fakir taught in his course was not to be a cut rate piercer.
Okay.
You know, just because everybody else is doing it for a certain price, don't do that. Charge for your services and do good work and make sure your customer knows how to take care of it when they leave.
Right.
Because that's the part that's hard. Not
right.
really hard, but, you know, it's a wound.
It's really important.
And so it's really important what you put in someone's body, you know, proper size, proper gauge. You know, there's a method to the madness.
What is the your wound care, cleaning care that you suggest usually to your clients?
Well, I like customers to use Provon. It's an antimicrobial soap.
Mm-hmm.
Better than an antibacterial. Antibacterial soap kills all the microorganisms that live on our body, mm-hmm. even the good ones. And an antimicrobial only kills the bad ones.
Okay.
Because we need that stuff on our body to help us heal.
All right.
So that, you know, in the shower, you're going to soap up with that and rinse. And then you'll use a sea salt and warm water the rest of the time and just let it dry up.
Yeah. That's
what about you, for you, Leo?
One of the most important things is how you take care of the tattoo after, you know.
Yeah.
After we tattoo, we have a sheet. We give a sheet how to take care. And believe it or not, some people use something else. I have customers using hydrogen peroxide, baby oil. Say, oh my God.
are you going to put
salt?
Do that.
Salt and lemon. But the aftercare is one of the most important things, man.
Do you guys offer anything in alternative? Because maybe people just don't have it at home, right? They don't have.
Well, we
carry that stuff. We carry stuff, bandages and the Provon. And then we also carry a numbing cream.
Oh,
for those
right.
people who love to get tattooed but hate the pain.
The lidocaine, right? The
it's...
like ribs, top of your foot.
Yeah, that's it helps.
Close to the bone, hurt a little tiny bit more. So
if
you can take a little bit of the edge, you know.
Yeah. I had a guy asking me which part hurts the most. I was like, the armpit so far has been one of the worst.
Yeah. Gave you ribs, man. It was really good.
Yeah, my brother got his ribs done and he was like, ah. But, you know, it's a
right... You live through it.
Yeah, you survived, man.
It's temporary.
You survived.
My first one, the artist, he didn't suggest it afterwards. I think he was in a party mode, but he was like, take a Vicodin. That was a bad idea.
You don't need
it. I think it just intensifies.
Yeah, because what happened was when it wore off, I felt all that pain all at once. And that was not...
No, we prefer people to be sober.
Right.
You have to.
Yeah.
Because if you're drunk or if you take a lot of energy drink, you bleed more.
Right.
The blood pushes the ink out the skin.
I like a lot of water, personally, because it's like you're losing blood, stay hydrated.
Yes.
It's a placebo. It probably doesn't do anything.
It's really good to eat before you get a tattoo, too, because sometimes the sugar level more when you stress, you know. So you always have a candy to give to people. That's the most important thing is the aftercare, you know.
Right.
Tattoo is open wound. So 15 days, no sun, salt water, pool, jacuzzi. You don't scratch. Don't pick the scab. Always wash your hands before you put lotion. You know, if you have a fresh tattoo and when it's almost completely healed, if you want to go to the gym, use a long sleeve shirt. You know, the gym when everybody sweats, you can get infection. That's what you need to understand. Everything we use is disposable.
Mm-hmm.
We go to class in the health department every year. We need to do a test, you know, and be rushed in the health department. But, most of the thing is not when you get in the tattoo, it's after.
Right.
How you take care.
Yeah.
And even after the tattoo heal, when you go to the sun for a long time, you need to put sunblock. You know, if no, tattoo going to start to fade.
Right.
You need to take care your tattoo.
Yeah, you could tell some people, like, they didn't use sunblock and it's like...
Yeah.
Blasted.
Or they pick the scab. That's what's happened a lot of times.
Really? You've seen that? I've never... Yeah. Well, obviously, you guys have. You've been in the business for a while. What ends up happening to the pigment, or what is it?
You pretty much take this the ink out.
Okay.
You know, you have a little hole, like you know.
Okay.
Well, and then also it can cause hyperpigmentation.
All right.
Or hypertrophic scarring. So you pick a scab, you know, well, for lack of saying a better thing, how to do it.
Yes.
You take a piece off, it's not done healing. So then it has to heal again. So you can get raised scarring as well. So it's just better if you just leave it.
And you can't touch that up then.
Well, you can eventually, but it's just not like fresh new skin.
Yeah.
You know?
It's probably an uneven color then.
Yeah,
it could be.
It could be, right, babe?
Yeah.
Leo, what's your inspiration for tattooing? Is there any when you're doing your own piece that is on your own terms, what kind of stuff do you like to do?
Well, I always try, even when we have the apprentice, we tell the apprentice not to stock only one style. Don't do just one thing. You artist, you'll be able to do anything the customer want. I like the color work. Some black and gray, depends on the design.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to do big piece, big back piece. I win a bunch of contests on back piece. But I like to do anything that's original and have a meaning to the customer. But that's the good part of the job. You know, do the same thing over and over again. You never do two tattoos the same. Mm-hmm. You always make custom work. Even if they bring the design, you change a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't copy. I'm not a Xerox machine, you know?
Right.
I like to do some custom work.
Do you do things freehand then? Sometimes?
Well, yeah. We draw in the skin. Sometimes depends on the work, you know, the area. You cannot always put the stance. Because that is, you need to be a tattoo artist. You need to draw good. If you don't draw, you can't tattoo.
Has the stencil been around since you started, or is that a newer thing?
Yes. No, since I started, but before was different. It was a plastic, and oh my god, that was hard.
Like a cellophane, like you draw on
the
cellophane.
Yeah, you need to put the paper. Like oh my god, then your tattoo start to come out. Then you go straight to Japan and draw his arm, you know. But these days, man, technology.
Yeah.
The disposable tubes, disposable.
Everything.
Everything, man, we use so. Is a big advance in technology. Even the ink now is way better. You know, the needles and the industry changed so much in the last 10 years. That's incredible. For when I start, you know, I have to make my own needle, come early to work, make my own needles, sterilize everything. Oh, my God. Then you get ready to work. It was hard times, man. It was really hard times.
How early did you have to start when you had to make your own needles?
Oh, man, I have to come to the shop an hour and a half before. Because, you know, I was doing needles. You do needles so much. You have so much practice that, you know, you end up doing fast and good. And now you buy a ready-made.
Were you making...
Disposable.
Every artist did their own needles?
Yes.
Right? You didn't were making it for the whole shop. It was just for you.
For you. Because everybody like to use different... You know, some people like to use round needles. Some people use like mag needles. Depends. If you want to make fade in the colors to blend, there's different needles you use. So each artist have a different preference, the way they like the machines running. I work with some people that the machine, you can hear the machine outside the shop. I mean, it's like a jackhammer. But the tattoos look great. I don't understand how when I work with him before I open my shop. Like, Jesus, look like a jackhammer.
It was like
look
an like air compressor,
the needle,
like you
look like the needle hitting the bone, man.
Wow.
You tattoo in the bone. When the guy die, you're gonna still see the tattoo. They heal good. So every tattoo artist have a different preference.
Right. There's still artists in Japan I see that use just the single needle, just the hand with the tie style.
These days they do the outline with a machine because it's really hard to do the outline,
I would think so.
Yeah, that's last time I talked to them. That way say. The outline now they do it to the machine, the rest they do by hand.
Was there, Debbie, was there any history that Fakir taught you about? Like, was there kind of like a history lesson or you kind of just like kicked it, got your...
No, I mean, I don't really remember that, but I do remember the mystical part of it.
Okay.
You know, the energy part of it.
Huh.
That was really, I really enjoyed the class. I remember thinking after I was done training, I thought, if I never, ever pierce anybody, it was well worth my time to meet the people I met and to just learn through him. He was really a cool guy.
Sounds like it.
He passed away.
Yeah, he passed this year.
Yeah.
Oh, just this year, very recently.
Recently, this 4 or 5 months ago.
Pretty much a guy that's helped start piercing.
Mm-hmm.
Here in San Francisco and spread.
Yeah.
Right.
Everywhere. So when we first opened the shop in 95, piercing was still not that popular.
It wasn't popular yet, really. People were calling for it, but then there was like a boom, you know, for a while.
I mean, as I was a kid of the 80s, but a teenager of the 90s, it was just kind of like a normal idea, get your nose done.
Every year, even with the tattooing, there's trends.
Right.
What's popular.
Right.
You know, so that's kind of interesting.
Just a little past the tribal tattoo trend, for example. Yeah.
Oh, my God. The tribal armband?
The tribal armband was super popular.
I refused to do that in the 90s, man.
Oh, did you?
And then, like,
I did so many I give to my
people. But you had to, because it was what was popular. People asked for it. And then the lower back tattoo was super popular. Remember that?
That's right.
Years ago.
Was there like the girls got the lower back and the guys got the armband, or was it just kind of
Well, yes.
Yeah. Now it's way more diversified.
Belly button piercings were pretty popular in the 90s,
too, right?
It was
huge.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I just did navels all day long. It's fine, but super popular. Not as popular anymore. But,
I got to say, when I'm shopping for other like jewelry, if you will, I am a little jealous that women have like the little, like for their nipples, the little like
the
dangly
little fun,
things.
Cute stuff.
I was like, I can't get away with that.
Well,
I could.
It's all about personal taste, and you never know what someone has under their clothes.
Yeah, I guess if I was doing boylesque, there's a really famous guy who does.
Really?
Yeah. I'll show you his stuff. Something. I think it's Jane Dupree or something.
Well, whenever I think, like a customer comes in and asks to see jewelry, and I pull different jewelry out thinking that this person is going to like this. I'm usually proven wrong.
Oh, okay.
Because I just don't know what someone's taste is.
True. Yeah. Well, sometimes people are there to kind of buck convention. So
absolutely.
You should do reverse and just say like,
well, now I'm just like, well, you know, here's my stuff. Let me know if you'd like to see something. I'll pull it out for you.
So that's also something that people can know, that they can come by and get jewelry.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do sell jewelry.
Yeah, it's the law. You need the law about the mat and the jewelry.
Oh yeah, it needs to be implant grade, 316 LVM implant grade steel, and you know, we're not allowed to put in someone's body something that is not American made.
Oh,
because stuff that comes in from out of the United States is not regulated.
Okay.
So it could be full of other alloys that you can be allergic to.
But after it's healed,
you can wear whatever you want as long as you don't have allergies.
Okay.
But I carry only American-made jewelry.
All right. That's interesting to hear. What was some challenges starting your guys' shop in 95? Tell us about like finding a spot. Was there any pushback? Anybody?
What's hard? Some people don't want to rent.
Well, they want to rent to you because they think, oh, bad people.
I know.
Tattooed people. Man,
you're like, sometimes.
Nothing illegal.
I say take about 8 months to find a spot.
Okay.
We're on Ventura Boulevard between Topanga and Canoga.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a prime spot, but 8 months.
Now there's a Sprouts across the street, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's a super trendy thing now. I don't know if that's good or bad, you know?
Well,
good for business, I imagine.
Yeah, it can be.
If you get a tattoo because it has a meaning to you, don't get a tattoo just because it's cool, you know?
Yeah.
Tattoo needs to be a reflection for who you are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's something personal. I never ask my customer what reason getting a tattoo. For what? You know, it's personal. They tell me what they like, and I have to do the best I can. But tattoo is really personal. Each design or each have that meaning for that person. That's really important to them.
Right.
That's what the tattoo artist has to do the best, man. You know, feel that vibe the customer want and the way he want.
Right.
That's a cool part of the job, man.
Yeah, I mean,
the same. It's never the same. The day is never. Each day is different.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'll never give up on the idea that, you know, you're it's punk rock to get a tattoo or a piercing, but yeah. I don't know. It's kind of just
these days, man. You know, we tattoo so many school teachers and
yeah, there's a
fire department, police officers that they all the arm half arm up to chest
because they can't expose.
They can't expose.
Right?
So you see that the police officer that no have no tattoos, he take his shirt off, he's blasted.
Right.
You know, and a school teacher got tattoo in most in what he cannot see, place they cannot see. I understand that, you know, sometimes for the job, but
yeah.
These days it's so acceptable, man.
I mean, the Sierra Colt who did mine, he didn't want my sleeve to go too far past my hand because I can wear a long sleeve still, right?
We tell customers, man, you know, if you want to tattoo your face, you know, we do, but we tell before, man, look, it's going to be hard to get a job later, man, because some people have that old mentality, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, still. But you have to understand, that's personal. You cannot tell somebody that's right and that's wrong.
Yeah, I don't think I'm offending anyone if we hate on Takeshi 69. I don't know if you guys know about him. He's a rapper that's ratting everywhere, whatever he's doing. And everyone's, but he's got all those 69s on his face. And
you see, if you're in the industry.
I personally don't like it, but that's my own personal taste.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't tattoo my face.
You're in the industry, if you're a tattoo artist or a musician or a rock star, or you know. It's okay, but for the regular people, I always tell before, look, it's a little bit, but if you want to do.
Well, and if they don't have other tattoos and they want to do their face, then maybe they should, you know, if someone comes in, they're very covered up to their neck. Well, they're covered.
These days, they have the cream that you put on and you can't even see the tattoo.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It's like you mean like makeup?
Johnny Depp should sell that because I know he's not covered, but he's got a lot, and then you can't tell during the movie.
Oh, yeah, they cover
Cover that. Yeah, they have that cream now you put in the skin.
Tom Hardy also as well is kind of, I'm impressed.
Well, they
by
make
it.
Makeup just for covering tattoos now.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. If you have a tattoo, you go to court.
I don't think it matters. You know, people
for that judge, that old guy. You know,
I mean, here,
old mentality, man. It's hard to change old people's mentality, man.
Yeah, I mean, again, being here in LA or when I'm in Austin, Texas or New York, it's not. No one even looks at you. If anything, they're like, "Hey, where'd you get that?" But there's other parts,
other places. They kind of you see them notice, and then you're like, "Oh, jeez."
Yeah,
yeah. It's so much more acceptable. You know, a lot of women's get arm sleeves now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I see my wife. No, she works in the industry.
They look good.
Thank you.
So you started at 40. What was your first one that you...
Oh, I just did the sleeve.
You did the whole sleeve?
Yeah.
You went all... Yeah.
I charge her. No, I'm joking. I don't charge her.
He charged
her. I don't fire me. I don't fire me, man.
Took it out of her paycheck.
What if she sued me? Sexual harassment at work.
All right.
Can she sue me for sexual harassment?
I don't know.
If you work with your wife?
Can you? I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. Oh, man.
There's a really famous reporter couple on MSNBC, and they started as, you know, not a couple, and now they are a couple, Joe and Mika, and Morning Joe. And it's kind of, it's an interesting dynamic.
Oh, the blonde lady. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
We work well together, I think. Yeah. You know, there's an occasion that we probably bug each other because we're together all the time. You know, when we're both working, he's in the front of the shop in his own station, and I'm in the back doing my thing. So we don't always interact constantly during the day.
Yeah, when I'm tattooing, I pay attention to what I'm doing. You know?
Yeah.
I know, look to the sides, and I can really not even pay attention to the music. I can even concentrate to
focused.
What I'm doing.
Yeah.
What kind of music do you like to listen to while you're tattooing?
Man, anything a little bit mellow.
Mellow.
But, you know, I leave it to the customer because, you know, really, when I concentrate on tattoo, I can't even hear what music going on or somebody talking to me. Or I'm focused. I'm really focused.
Well, you're focused, and then sometimes the only thing you hear is your customer telling you everything.
Yeah.
Because
people
happens.
Sit in your chair and they just start telling you things.
Right.
Some things that maybe you don't really want to hear.
Yeah.
Kind of like a hairdresser, you know, they sit in your chair and they just start telling you all this personal stuff, which is kind of cool.
You probably have experience with just kind of like, okay, all right.
Definitely.
Well, you listen.
Right?
You
listen and you don't pass it on to anybody because sometimes they just need to get it out.
Yeah.
It's that bond you create with your customer. You know, they really, the customer feel really close to you because you're touching them and doing something that's permanent. So really, they start create a bond. It's almost like a, he's your best friend.
Yeah.
You know? And he trusts in you. I think that's
yeah, it's a big time trust.
It's a big time trust, man.
Yeah.
You know, I don't make too many mistakes.
Yeah.
Just two or three a day. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
I'm guilty of like, why am I still talking? Why am I saying that?
It's interesting because everybody's got a story. Oh, everybody's got something going on.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to share a little bit about the other people in the shop?
Yeah, we have Christian between you just for
Christian years. Halterman.
Uh-huh. Christian Halterman, he's a really good artist, man. The guy is phenomenal. And he's the best machine builder I ever met. He can build a machine, man, from scrap.
Any machine specifically? What kind of
coil machine?
Tattoo machine.
Nice.
Yeah. Coil machines. You know, he's great, man. And he's an excellent artist.
Oh, and he's a hard worker. He'll just tattoo all day long.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he enjoy. Yeah,
what's the longest you've ever tattooed, Leah?
Well, I don't recommend it, but when I have to do back piece for a convention, I work on a guy for 6 hours. But I like to go about 3 hours. Because, you know, I've been tattooing for so long that I'm not tattooing in a hurry, but I tattoo fast, you know? After 28 years tattooing, you know, you have that experience.
Right.
So
you can cover a lot of ground.
I can cover a lot of ground, man. It's like when I first start, with my first 2-3 years, probably a piece is going to take me 4 hours. Now take me 1 hour.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think the customer get happy with that too, because, you know, you don't sit in a chair for that long. Even having numbing cream now, but experience count, really count.
Yeah. I saw a guy getting his whole back to his butt, kind of the Japanese style, and you could tell he was... explain to me.
The butt's very sensitive, right? I mean, I don't have anything on mine, but I've seen people getting that area done, and it seems like it's more painful, is it?
Yeah, I like to do it for like 3-4 hours maximum. Uh-huh. I think after that, it started to hurt too much, and, you know... And gonna be a big area making a scab.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe.
So, yeah.
So, were you kind of wondering, like, as far as like a whole day of tattooing, like how many hours or just on one person?
Just because you were saying with Christian and, you know, just kind of wondering.
Well, we do the Friday the 13th special whenever it comes around.
Oh, like hours open, you're saying? Like customers overall?
We'll just, like, we had 89 people sign up. For a Friday the 13th tattoo.
Yeah, but we don't do $13.
Which is a discount tattoo. It's not. But we were there till like 2 in the morning. So we're just, you know, tattooing all day long.
Shops don't stay open that late anymore, do they? They used to, though.
They used to be 2 in the morning, but that...
Drunk people just come in.
Sunset Boulevard was like that still for a little bit, right? I think I remember when I was partying out there in the 90s.
Well, people get a buzz. Let's go get a tattoo. But it's really not a good time to get a tattoo.
Nope.
Yeah.
Don't make good decisions.
Right.
And you bleed too much.
And you don't sit still. It's hard to work on them. And so we prefer you to be sober.
There's another Friday the 13th coming up, right?
In December. Yeah,
so
we'll be having our special
listening again.
Yes.
Is it anything or the flash art?
We have some flash art available. Mm-hmm. So we have $40 sizes and we have $80 sizes. So it has to fit into those categories. We might do we were doing first come, first serve, but we had too many people.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
We had to give rain checks to people because at 2 in the morning we were done.
That's great. You guys honor that because I imagine some of us like, wow.
Yeah, we did. We do the 40 and 80.
They hung out all day. We're going to definitely come back. We'll do it for you within the next week.
You have all hands on deck for that? Like everybody's in there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Crazy.
It's fun.
We only talked about Christian, by the way. Who else was in there?
Oh, that's right.
We have Eric.
Eric Hardy.
Eric Hardy. Tattooing for a long time. He's really good, too. The best straight lines, man.
Oh.
Perfect. 100% perfect.
Yeah,
straight.
Super
perfect.
Particular.
Circle. Yeah, he's really particular. And we have a girl that, Alisa, that we teach her to tattoo.
This is her first year tattooing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Really good.
She's really good. Really talented, you know.
And then Vinny.
And Vinny is a... tattoo artist that from Brazil too. I bring him here. He was the best in Rio. Unfortunately, he got hit by a car.
And he had to go home because they broke his knee and his shoulder. So he'll be back in November.
All right.
Very good.
Cool. He's really good artist too.
Vinny Darien, if anyone wants to check out his Instagram.
When we hire somebody, you know, we look at the portfolio. After that, we make them do a tattoo in front of us so we can see how long he takes doing the tattoo, if he use everything sterile, you know, each his hand, which is gloves, each his head,
right.
Like we see before in shops. But, you know, we watch him, then you get a 1 month probation. To mm-hmm. see if you fit with everybody, you don't have any, because the personalities,
right,
which are not the artist and the customers.
Yeah, you want everyone to get along.
Yes,
absolutely.
You need to be happy going to work. So everybody get along, it's like a big party, you know.
Nice.
We joke each other, you know, like, you need to be happy going to work, man.
For sure.
You need to look forward to go to work. And do what you like to do, man. Don't matter what you do in life. If you enjoy what you're doing, you're going to be successful.
Awesome. Well, where do you guys see the shop in 5 years?
Very, 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 very busy because everyone else has closed.
Well,
I'm teasing.
We're on the first
group,
ones,
you know?
And we're still great, man. You know, I remember tattooing, you know, the father and the son was 17, and the son turned 20, he come and get a tattoo, so I tattooed father and son.
Nice.
Well, I hope I don't have to tattoo his grandson.
Maybe.
I want to be retired before then, but who knows?
That would be nice, yeah.
But yeah, that's cool. Man, it's a cool job, man.
Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. Leo and Debbie,
thanks
so much for coming by.
Thank you so much for having us. It was fun.
It was fun, man. Right? Where's the beers?
Where's the beer? I really want to like keep some tequila or something.
Oh, man, you don't have any? No, I'm joking.
Not this time.
We have to go to work, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leo, where can we find you on Instagram?
Think at Think Ink Tattoos.
Yeah, underscore.
And then Leo's is at Leo Think Ink Tattoos.
Debbie, do you have something going on? Or
I just put stuff on the Think Ink Tattoos Instagram.
And our website. Yes.
ThinkInkTattoos.com, our website.
you can see all my work and my mistakes. I'm joking. No. I don't make too many mistakes.
Well, again, thank you guys for coming by. Leo and Debbie from Think Ink in Woodland Hills. For more information, you can go to kpcradio.com. And coming up next, we have Nacho Libre. He was at your show.
Oh, Nacho, yeah.
He used to work.
Right on.
Yeah, he used to work for us.
Yeah, so I want to thank you all for listening. I'm Anthony Sanchez.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, man. Thanks.